And welcome to Israel Uncensored at thelandofisrael.com. My name is Josh Haston. It is the 23rd of May, 2016. We are in Jerusalem, the holy city. Thanks so much for joining us. I am here with my main man, Binyamin Breskey. And since we talked last, a lot has happened here in Israel, specifically in the political realm. Moshe Bogi Yaalon, the defense minister for the state of Israel, has resigned from his position. Some would say he was fired. Technically, that's not the case, but a lot of people think he was fired when the Prime Minister, Bibi Netanyahu, decided to expand his coalition and bring in Avigdor Lieberman's Yisrael Beitenu party to stabilize the government here in Israel. He had a slim majority of 61. Now he's up to 66. But because of the fact that Avigdor Lieberman is soon to become our defense minister, Bogi Yaalon resigns. To talk about all of this later on in the show, Gil Hoffman, senior political correspondent for the Jerusalem Post, a good friend of ours. He'll be on to give all of the analysis. Just to keep you in the loop, this is actually an article co-written by Gil in the Jerusalem Post. Prime Minister Netanyahu intends to embark on a major diplomatic effort to disprove outgoing Defense Minister Moshe Yaalon's accusations that under his premiership, Israel and the Likud party are heading toward the extreme right, senior Likud sources said Saturday night. Moshe Bogi Yaalon, he has made that reference several times since he resigned the other day, saying that the Likud is being hijacked by the extremists. And I would disagree with that statement, number one. Number two, with Avigdor Lieberman coming in as our a defense minister, it's not officially done. The deal's not done. They're still negotiating here today. People are criticizing, saying he doesn't have the army experience. He didn't serve. He's never led in that capacity, in the defense capacity. But, you know, I'm hoping that he does a good job. I think we needed a change, especially with Moshe Yaalon and all the controversy in recent weeks of him supporting the second in command there in the IDF with his controversial statements that he made on Yom HaShoah, essentially comparing the situation here in Israel today, the comments he made on Holocaust Remembrance Day, nonetheless, expressing concern at extremism here in Israel, as if to say that Israel today is turning into Nazi Germany. So those were extreme statements made by, it's actually, to be specific, the Major General Yair Golan, the second in command. And then you have the situation with the soldier in Hebron. So Yaalon accusing the country of becoming extremist, and then the prime minister taking away the ministry from him, the defense ministry, giving it to Avigdor Lieberman. It'll happen any day now officially. But from where I'm sitting in Gush Etzion, with the daily rock attacks, you know, we have 10 to 15 rock and firebomb attacks going on. Moshe Yaalon was talking about how the terrorism is on the decline, and maybe statistically it is. You have less stabbings, etc. You still have these daily rock attacks, firebomb attacks. I want those to go away. So perhaps Avigdor Lieberman can get that done. I'm not sure if he can. I am hopeful he can. There was an attempted shooting outside of Tekoa just the other night on Saturday night. A bus load of children, high school children, who are returning after a Shabbat in Tekoa, going back to their school in the western side of the Gush Etzion. They came under fire. Thank God no one was hurt in that attack, but a bullet did hit the windshield. It could have been much, much, much worse. And I want these attacks to go away. You know, maybe I'm unrealistic to think that every attack can go away, but they're throwing rocks on the roads daily. They're throwing firebombs. I'm talking about the jihadists living among us. And I want this to go away. And maybe the answer is Avigdor Lieberman. I don't know. But I think we should give him a fair chance. I think Moshe Yaalon was going the wrong way in terms of dealing with the situation. I was definitely down on him in recent weeks, especially in lieu of the statements he was making, encouraging, again, other statements, encouraging soldiers to express their opinions openly. I mean, there is supposed to be a separation between the army and the political establishment. You're supposed to be following orders or fear in the army. You're not supposed to get involved in politics or speak your mind in a forum other than an IDF forum. And yet Moshe Yaalon was supporting soldiers to go ahead and speak their minds publicly, etc. So I don't think that was right. And ultimately, the prime minister removed him of his duties, perhaps because of that. Some will say it was because he wanted to expand the coalition. I think there was a little bit of truth to both of those statements, that the prime minister, I guess, had to show him or teach him a lesson. And he also wanted to expand the government here. So we have more of a stable government here in Israel with the 60, I believe it's 66 seats now. And hopefully the government now, as we're entering the summer session of the Knesset, hopefully we'll be able to pass meaningful legislation and we'll be able to thwart these jihadist attacks. Yehuda Glick, Temple Mount activist, as a result of Moshe Bogi Yaalon resigning, he is now a member of Knesset. If you remember, Yehuda Glick, who was nearly assassinated by a terrorist, I think it's been now 2 years, he was shot several times, survived the attack. He is now a member of Knesset representing the Likud, representing people's rights to pray and to worship on the Temple Mount, regardless of religion. As you know, right now, Muslims can worship on the Temple Mount, Jews cannot. And Yehuda Glick would like to see a change in that policy. So that's really, in a nutshell on the political front. But keep it here. Gil Hoffman, who knows this stuff really better than anyone else in terms of what's going on politically and how to analyze the situation, he'll talk about how Moshe Yaalon may be the winner in all of this eventually, if in fact he uses this opportunity to form a new party to challenge Netanyahu's leadership. You're not going to want to miss this interview with Gil Hoffman coming up. Again, this is Israel Uncensored on thelandofisrael.com radio network. My name is Josh Haston. Be in touch during the week, josh@thelandofisrael.com, on Twitter @JewofZion, and on Facebook. As all this is happening in the political realm, you still have things going on out there that are important to talk about. Israel returns bodies of two terrorists. See, this kind of happens under the radar. Everyone's busy worried about Bogi Yaalon and the prime minister and the government and Lieberman, etc. Israeli authorities on Friday, according to the J Post, returned the bodies of two terrorists to the Palestinian Authority. Israel Radio reported the other day one of the attackers was killed after murdering an American tourist at the Jaffa port earlier this year during a stabbing spree with 10 others wounded in that incident. A second terrorist was killed during a stabbing attack in Petah Tikva. Why are we returning the bodies of the terrorists? Why? What good does that do? Why don't we hold on to their bodies? They shouldn't get them back, because then they turn these funerals into rallying calls to continue this jihad and martyrdom against the Jews of Israel. Others argue, no, you have to give them back because that will calm them down. I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing exactly the opposite. When you give back the bodies, you reward them, you turn them into martyrs, then the Palestinian Authority goes out and names town squares after these people. I think it's a horrible mistake to return the bodies. On the diplomatic front, the French prime minister arrived in Israel the other day trying to promote his country's international peace initiative, which is going to take place at the beginning of June. Remember, this is going to take place in France, but the Israelis and the those representing the Palestinian Authority aren't even invited. I mean, this is just another case of France, with support of the world community, trying to cram a peace process down the throats of Israel. Ultimately, actually, it always ends up being putting pressure on Israel to make more concessions, turn over areas of land to the Palestinian Authority. That's really what this is about. It's just going to be another one of these. I mean, we've seen, how many of these have we seen over the last 23 years plus since the beginning of the Oslo Accords in 1993? This is just another failure even before it gets underway. And you have here the Prime Minister, Manuel Valls, telling Israel's Channel 2, the international community wants to see a two-state solution with recognizable and secure borders. Of course, he says Jerusalem will be the capital of both nations. Good luck with that. While he said he appreciated Netanyahu's position, Netanyahu says he does not intend to support the French initiative. Valls says the persistent calls for Abbas to return to the negotiating table had yet to bear fruit. Again, once again, trying to bring Mahmoud Abbas to the negotiating table, the master terrorist, Mahmoud Abbas, the financier of the Munich massacre, not our peace partner, but the international community is still trying to bring him to the table. And then he says that the situation, of course, we can't maintain the status quo, blames the settlements, the communities of Judea and Samaria, of course. That's the reason, puts them on the same level as the Arab-initiated terror, the violence We have to stop both of these things. Building, we have to stop building Jewish patios and pergolas, and at the same time, we have to stop the violence, as if those two are morally equivalent. So that's coming up here in June. And then the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, if we solve that, it's also going to contribute to regional and global stability. Explain to me how, if let's say the Jews and the Arabs go ahead and signed a deal, the Jews and those, the Palestinian Authority Arabs, are the jihadists in Syria and the Syrian regime and ISIS, are they all going to stop killing each other if the Jews and the Arabs sit down at the negotiating table? Of course not. This is not the cause of all the strife in the Middle East. It has nothing to do with the fact that Muslims are massacring other Muslims to the tune of, what are we up to now, 400,000 plus in Syria alone. It has nothing to do with the fact that there are Jews in Israel or that people are building pergolas in parts of Jerusalem and in Gush Etzion and Judea and Samaria. Moving on here, the Times of Israel says that Israel to allow cement into Gaza after a six-week freeze. We really showed them, right? We froze cement to Gaza for 6 weeks, and they probably learned their lesson. Hamas is probably now going to say to themselves, oh, the Israelis taught us a lesson. They froze delivery of cement. We're not going to divert the cement towards the terror tunnels. We're not going to build rockets anymore. We learned our lesson. We were punished severely. I'm being sarcastic, obviously. I don't understand. You know, Israel almost daily, COGAT, this is the Coordinator of Government Activities in the Territories, they're always proud of, today we turned over X amount of materials into Gaza. Look how great Israel is. Look how wonderful of a people we are, etc. Yet, time and time again, we are seeing different materials being smuggled into Gaza, which are being used by Hamas to manufacture weapons. Things are being caught at the border. They're catching all these chemicals and materials, etc. And then it goes to the media, and the media reports that all of these materials have been seized. So why don't we learn our lesson? Why do we continue to just repeat this pattern? So we froze delivery of cement for 6 weeks. So now we're going to deliver cement. And what's going to happen? It's going to be diverted. Instead of building hospitals and schools and all the other things that the people of Gaza need, it's going to be diverted to Hamas. It's a cycle. It happens over and over again. I mean, here you have in the report here by the Times of Israel, apparently this whole cement issue, the fact that Israel is now going to deliver cement, this is a result of deliberations between Israeli UN officials, the UN Special Coordinator for the Middle East peace process got involved here, talking about how Israel is going to, or should, and can now, without having to worry, turn over cement to the people of Gaza. Stipulations include that Hamas is going to fire this guy, Imad Al-Baz, the deputy director of Hamas's economic ministry. He's not going to be there anymore. So in that case, we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about Hamas or the cement getting into the hands of the terrorists. And get this, there's going to be an increase under this deal, an increase in the number of Palestinian inspectors on the Gaza side of Keren Shalom border crossing. I'm not worried. I don't know about you. I'm not worried anymore. I can sleep well at night because, thank God, there are Palestinian inspectors over there. So I don't have to worry that the cement is going to go into the hands of Hamas. Obviously, it can't because the Palestinian Authority inspectors are there, right? What could go wrong here? Give me a break. This is ridiculous. Enough turning cement over to Gaza. Enough with this being proud of the fact that we're such humanitarians, when in fact they're turning right around in our faces and using this to continue the terror tunnels, continue to manufacture rockets, etc. A big story broke yesterday. This also, according to the Times of Israel, J Street, the so-called pro-Israel, I would call them anti-Israel nonprofit organization there. They're in the news. Apparently, they received $500,000 from a group to push the Iran deal. You can be bought, folks. For that amount of money, I mean, they probably would have supported the Iran deal anyway, but they were given $500,000 from something called the Plowshares Fund, another organization in the U.S., J Street, NPR was paid off, etc., in order to paint a rosy picture that the Iranian deal is going to bring peace and security, and J Street ran with it with all their might, taking out ads in the New York Times, encouraging Congress not to block the deal. And in that case, they won because the deal, in fact, passed. But all of this being revealed, this Plowshares Fund, how they're getting involved in all of this, buying the media, buying J Street, But the ironic thing is the Plowshares Fund, their mission here, according to Times of Israel, is to, quote, build a safe, secure world by developing and investing in initiatives to reduce and ultimately eliminate the world's nuclear stockpiles. So giving Iran a path to the bomb, with Iran threatening daily, nearly, the destruction of the state of Israel, saying they can wipe. They said it yesterday. Somebody said we can wipe Israel out in 8 minutes, some Iranian official. So somehow, by making it easier for Iran to get a bomb, which they supported, which they gave J Street $500,000 to support, somehow that, you know, that's part of their mission of building a safe, secure world. Iran is closer to getting a bomb, and they've contributed to world peace and harmony. I'm just not understanding that. I don't know where their thinking is. I don't know where their heads are here, but it did in fact work. The fact that the Iranian deal was pushed through. Let's see what happens if, I don't know, if Donald Trump is elected and he perhaps rescinds that Iranian deal. I don't know. I think it's a moot point at this juncture. I think the Iran deal went through, and Israel is going to ultimately have to defend itself. And you know, we haven't attacked or taken out the Iranian nuclear threat yet, but something's going to have to be done here before it's too late. Whether it's in 10, 15 years. If, in fact, Iran abides by the letter of the deal, or if they break the deal and it's much sooner, Israel ultimately has to defend itself and will have to take care of that Iranian threat. Anyway, we are going to take a quick break here, and then Gil Hoffman, senior political correspondent for the Jerusalem Post, will be my guest. This is Josh Haston here on Israel Uncensored at thelandofisrael.com radio network. It is the 23rd of May, 2016. Hope you are doing well in your part of the world. It is the 15th of Iyar on the Jewish calendar, 5776, getting ready for the holiday of Lag BaOmer here in Israel. Get in touch with me during the week, Josh at thelandofisrael.com on email, on Facebook, Josh Haston, H-A-S-T-E-N, on Twitter, at Jew of Zion. We'll be right back with Gil Hoffman. Don't touch that dial.
You're listening to the Land of Israel Network, broadcasting the truth and beauty of Israel to the world. Tune in every Sunday for Rejuvenation with E. Harrow, Monday for Israel Uncensored with Josh Haston, Wednesday for Israel Inspired with Ari Abramowitz and Jeremy Gimpel, and Thursday for the Yishai Fleischer Show. Catch it all on thelandofisrael.com.
And welcome back to Israel Uncensored here at thelandofisrael.com. My name is Josh Haston. Thank you so much for joining us. Get in touch with me on social media, Twitter at Jew of Zion, Facebook Josh Haston, H-A-S-T-E-N, or send me an email, josh at thelandofisrael.com. With all the political turmoil in Israel, who else is there to talk to other than the one and only Gil Hoffman, senior political correspondent for the Jerusalem Post? He joins us now on the line. Gil, welcome to Israel Uncensored here at thelandofisrael.com.
Pleasure being on your show.
We've been talking about it a lot so far today. Completely different picture on the political in the political realm than we had a week ago. You have the Prime Minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, bringing in the Israel Beitenu party, giving the defense ministry over to Avigdor Lieberman, Moshe Yaalon, the former defense minister, quitting. Gil, where do things stand today here on the 23rd of May? What is the political picture looking like this morning?
Up in the air as usual. The negotiations with the Israel Beitenu party have hit a snag. They are asking for a ton of money for pensions for immigrants to this country from the former Soviet Union. In Israel, you have to work a certain number of years here in order to have a state-funded pension, and the immigrants did not come here soon enough and work enough years here in order to get that pension. And so because of that, too many of them are poor. And so this is the most important cause that there is for a party that serves these Russian immigrants, like Israel Beitenu. It costs a lot of money. It costs like 2-3 billion shekels. And the finance minister, who more than anyone pushed there to be a unity government because having a narrow majority of one in the Knesset made it impossible to accomplish anything, Moshe Kahlon, now he's the one who has to pay the bill, and he's not ready to. So there have been negotiations going on since Thursday with the finance ministry. The talks with Lily Kud were done already then. Since then, it's all been between the finance ministry and Israel Beitenu, and the fact that there's not an agreement yet between the two of them shows what a problem there is.
So, but Gil, do you think it's just a matter of time before the two sides, secure the deal? I mean, we've been talking, and the way I introduced this segment, you know, as if it's already a done deal, as if Avigdor Lieberman will be taking over the defense ministry. Is it a done deal? Is it going to happen eventually?
I mean, look, people are listening to this at all different times, so they might, you know, be entering your show and being like, oh, but there's an article online saying that a deal was reached. You know, things in Israel change quickly, and I do expect there to be an agreement, and then we'll be able to move on and hopefully have a more stable government that will make life easier for political correspondents whose only opinion about Israeli politics is that they want to get more risk.
So now you have, with Avigdor Lieberman, if in fact it gets done and he's the defense minister, you have a lot of people upset, saying he doesn't have the experience, he has never served in the military, etc. A lot of the voices I hear are negative or down on the idea of him being our next defense minister. What are your thoughts on that? And and what about those who perhaps disagree and actually believe he's going to be the one to do a good job? He's going to take care of terrorism, etc. What are your thoughts on our next defense minister?
You know, there's a lot of hypocrisy out there because, there are people who, had there been a different defense minister who's not a Avigdor Lieberman who doesn't have the army service, would be fine with it. I can understand he has expressed views in the past that are controversial, even extreme. I mean, even a couple months ago, he said that if he becomes defense minister within 48 hours, he would assassinate Haniya, the head of Hamas, which would mean if the deal is completed today, then Haniya, I think, would be assassinated on Friday, according to that timetable, after, you know, the swearing-in would take place, and then he would start work on Wednesday. So I don't think he meant that. Opposition members of parliament speak that way. That's what happens. And when they get these jobs, they have responsibility. And when he was foreign minister, he was very cool-headed. He was the one trying to help Israel get along better with Obama. Well, Netanyahu was the one fighting with him, if people remember, and still is. So now if the main disagreement is over the defense pact with the United States, which Netanyahu wasn't keen to reach with the current administration in Washington, it's Lieberman, actually, who could do it.
Yesterday in the Jerusalem Post, Gil, you wrote about Moshe Yaalon, and you actually suggested perhaps that the prime minister made a political mistake. Yaalon already hinting, Bogi Yaalon, Moshe Yaalon hinting that he is going to start a new party or perhaps try to form some type of conglomerate, which will perhaps contest with the prime minister. In other words, you will have Moshe Yaalon trying to become Israel's next prime minister. And from what I take from your analysis yesterday, you thought the prime minister made a mistake. He created a rival, perhaps, who one day will unseat him. Give us some of your thoughts today on that assessment of the situation.
Well, for those looking for it on Google, I wrote that Netanyahu created a monster. That was the headline. You know, there's not been a serious alternative to Netanyahu in many years who could make Israelis feel safe. Netanyahu has exploited the fact that the Israeli people believe that only Netanyahu can keep them safe, which it was Netanyahu who persuaded them of that. And here you have very respected former chief of staff of the army, seem to be, I believe at this moment, actually former minister of defense, and he can persuade Israelis that somebody else can keep them safe too. And I don't know if in the end he'll be able to run in Likud again after he really attacked the party pretty harshly. Maybe he kept in a window. He hasn't officially left the party, or if he'll be forming some kind of party with former Likudniks or something. That would make it harder to come to power, obviously, than it would be as a member of Likud. So we'll see. But it's going to be interesting from now on that there's a serious alternative, because in the past, the only serious alternatives that we were looking at were two other former chiefs of the IDF, Gabi Ashkenazi and Benny Gantz, who don't have political experience or acumen. And I don't know about acumen, but experience Yaalon has.
One last question, Gil, before we let you go. As a result of all of this, the Likud has a new member of Knesset, Temple Mount activist Yehuda Glick. He enters the Knesset with Moshe Yaalon resigning. What is your take on the ramifications of Yehuda Glick joining the Knesset? You have some who are calling him an extremist. You have others who say the opposite is true. In fact, he is all about coexistence and freedom of religion and freedom of worship on the Temple Mount. What are your thoughts on Yehuda Glick now entering Israel's parliament, the Knesset?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Josh. The people who've actually heard Yehuda Glick, and I know he's been on the Lands of Israel Network and on voiceofisrael.com of blessed memory, he is someone whose views surprise a lot of people. He calls himself a human rights activist.
Right.
And a prayer rights activist. He wants to get along with the Muslims. He wants to get along with everyone. And just like people were confused and took a while to figure out Moshe Feigman, and then some never did, I think that Yehuda Glick is going to turn some heads. And we'll see also that Israel will have, for the first time since the 1970s, two American-born members of Knesset in Michael Oren and Yehuda Glick, taking us back to the times of Yehuda Ben Meir and Marsha Friedman, if you want to win a trivia contest.
A little bit of history as well here on Israel Uncensored. Thanks to the one and only Gil Hoffman, senior political correspondent for the Jerusalem Post. Gil, we're going to let you go. I know it's a busy time over there in the world of politics at the Knesset and here in Israel. I want to thank you so much for your time today. All the best, and if you can, keep us updated on all the latest developments.
Pleasure being with you. And pleasure being with the ultimate radio producer, Benjamin Bresky.
Yeah, Ben Bresky's the man, that's for sure. No doubt about it. Thanks a lot, Gil. Have a wonderful day, and let's talk again soon. Thanks again to Gil Hoffman, chief political correspondent for the Jerusalem Post. My name is Josh Haston. This has been another edition of Israel Uncensored on thelandofisrael.com for the 23rd of May, 2016. Get in touch with me during the week. Josh at thelandofisrael.com is my email. On Twitter at Jew of Zion. On Facebook, Josh Haston, H-A-S-T-E-N. We are getting ready for the holiday of Lag BaOmer here in Israel. Coming up Wednesday night and Thursday, the holiday of bonfires. Be safe out there. Don't do anything crazy with those fires. It's dangerous. Have a good time, be safe, and we'll talk again next week. I am out from Jerusalem with my main man, Ben Bresky, in studio, Josh Haston, Israel Uncensored, thelandofisrael.com radio network.